Hello, and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the New Orleans literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. Today, we'll be talking with Alex Cook, author of Louisiana Saturday Night, looking for a good time in South Louisiana's juke joints, honky-tonks, and dance halls. And we'll also be talking with Deshae Rhodes, manager of the renovated Rosa Keller branch of the New Orleans Public Library, which opens its doors Friday, March 16th. It's hard to imagine a writer who has more fun than Alex Cook. He's the author of Louisiana Saturday Night, looking for a good time in Louisiana's juke joints, honky-tonks, and dance halls, just out from Louisiana State University Press. He's a Baton Rouge writer whose work has appeared in the Oxford American, The Believer, and Downbeat, and he's an adjunct professor in the Manship School of Communications at Louisiana State University. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Susan. How's it going?
Oh, great. So happy to see you. First off, I just have to ask, what's the difference between juke joints, honky-tonks, and dance halls?
Well, sometimes it's kind of a fine line. You know, everybody kind of has their own definitions of things. One of the things that Teddy kind of explains about juke joints, and he's really got one of the only ones left in Louisiana, at least on the stretch of Highway 61. It's going through there. It's really just kind of a backwoods place for people to hang out, listen to music. Traditionally, the juke joints did not have live bands.
Ah.
They had DJs. And hence, that's where the juke joints came from and, you know, where jukeboxes and all that comes from. But usually they're kind of backwoods kind of clubs that, you know, that's where the blues took hold. And that's definitely what Teddy's is.
And that's practically the last stop on Highway 61, right?
It's just about, yeah. It's just about the last one going. It's a great place. It's been open for 30-something years. It's actually the house he was born in.
Yeah.
He was a DJ at a number of different clubs in Baton Rouge. And his mother had bought the property and told him, you know, you're not making any money painting houses. You're not making any money, you know, working at these clubs. Why don't you take that house out back and open a club yourself? And it's been open ever since.
And we come upon him in this book when he's having his 61st birthday.
He is. And that's actually when I met Teddy, was at that birthday party. I was in a record store on North Acadia in Baton Rouge called Buddy Stewart's Rock Shop, which also appears in the book. And while I was waiting to talk to the owner, I saw a flyer for the place. It was an old weathered flyer. And I figured, it's like, oh, this place is long gone. So I was asked her about it. She's like, no, it's open. You should go this weekend, you know. And that's what kind of started my whole odyssey of writing about these places.
Okay, so what's a honky-tonk?
Traditionally, honky-tonk is kind of more of a country bar for, like, country music. And a lot of, like, the Cajun bars I would kind of put in the category of honky-tonk, particularly something like Fred's Lounge in Mamou.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of these places has its own weird wrinkle. Like Fred's Lounge is only open like Mardi Gras Day and Saturday mornings. And that's the only time it's open.
I know. I've been to Fred's. It's like one of the best places on the planet.
Well, and it's so much fun. And it's like everybody in there is throwing down and you're like, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, and plus the trek to go out to Mamou. There's no easy way to get to Mamou anyway.
It's purpose-driven drive.
Yeah, no one has ever made it to Mamou by accident.
So. And I love that you have Tonsu in the book.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Just
have
passing out the boudin from the cardboard box.
Totally. Like popping it right in your mouth. Like.
I never felt that my dancing skills were quite up to that place. So.
Mine never are. I go to these places and usually I'll make two or three turns. And then just like step out because leave it to the experts.
Oh, well, the time I was there was the first time that Steve Riley had won a Grammy.
Oh, wow.
And it was like major rejoicing.
Yeah.
You know? It was a fabulous, fabulous thing. So you've divided this book into three geographic regions around the state. So tell us about that.
Well, we just kind of looked at all of the different places and different ways to organize it. And that's just what kind of emerged. We looked at Baton Rouge area clubs. That's where I live. That's where kind of my roots of like, you know, finding music. And when I first got interested in the blues was there. was going to blues clubs like Tabby's Blues Box, which is no longer around, and places like that. And then we kind of broke it out into Acadiana, which is covering kind of the Lafayette, Brobridge, Opelousas triangle out there. And then we talked about like New Orleans clubs, but we didn't want to stick to just New Orleans. We talked about the North Shore. We talked about the West Bank. Yeah, we talk about places like that.
And I think New Orleans readers will find that they're well represented in this book because you have everything from tips to the old Fireman's Hall in West Wego.
Right.
I mean, it's a nice, nice range.
Well, and you know, New Orleans is a tough nut to crack when you're talking about this because there is more music clubs in New Orleans than I think any place. So that was more of a challenge of like, how can I well represent New Orleans? Not leave anything out. I'm sure there are places that are left out throughout this. We were not going to have a comprehensive guide because that would just be a phone book.
Right.
But we wanted to have places that if you went, you would feel like you really saw some true Louisiana. You saw something unique that you're not going to see anywhere else.
And at one point, you took your daughter with you to do some research,
I do. I frequently do. I have kind of a bank of running partners that I take with me to do these stories. And my daughter is a good one because I want her to experience this part of the country. You know, Baton Rouge has like somewhat of a deservedly kind of conservative, very staid image that a lot of people don't, I guess, embrace a lot of the things that most people think of Louisiana. It's not a big party city like Lafayette or like New Orleans is. But there's a lot of stuff there, and I want her to experience those things. Plus, I think they're cool. I think they're fun, you know?
Well, this is more than just a guidebook. I mean, it's a real celebration of culture. That's been important to you all along, hasn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I think this is just an amazingly interesting place to live. I mean, it's kind of a messed up place to live. You know, politics, education. I mean, you could go on and on with what's wrong with Louisiana. But what I always kind of say is that everything, well, I won't say it the way I normally say it, but everything's kind of half-baked in Louisiana. But it kind of works out in your favor. Like, there'll be a couple of things that you're like, man, if they would only do this. It's like, okay, they don't really do that, but we have Boudin shops, and we have Zydeco, and we have all these other things to counterbalance the things that, like, normal Western civilization has.
Our own civilization.
That's right. That's right. We've got our own wrinkle on it. So.
So tell us about some of the detours you took, too, because I think some of those are the most interesting things to consider.
Yeah. We kind of looked at that as places that we could talk about that didn't really fit in the model of it. One of my favorite places that I went in here was the Domino Soundcheck here in New Orleans.
On Bayou Road,
I love that record store. It's one of the most perfectly curated record stores. And even though it's not so much about New Orleans music, it is very endemic of like New Orleans culture, of how I perceive it, of like kind of the very hip into music, into, I don't know, that New Orleans gravy that people have, you know, about them. It's very much about that. And that's why I wanted to include that.
I loved it when you bought something just so you'd be cool enough to go back.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That was perfect. Yeah. Oh, could you pick a favorite of all these?
It's hard. It's hard to pick a favorite. I tell you, one of my absolute favorite places, and it was a place that really surprised me, is Lakeview Park and Beach in Eunice. And it's a RV park that's north of Eunice. I forget what the highway is that runs north-south through Eunice, but it's out there. And it's an old RV park that they've kind of done up. As RV parks go, it's like a pretty cute RV park. You know, they've got like a swimming hole and all this stuff. But in the back of it, they have this gigantic barn where they have like a Cajun barn dance every Friday and Saturday night. And they get a lot of the young Cajun bands out of Lafayette will come out there and play. And so like Foufouet's played there. I'm pretty sure I've seen Lost Bayou Ramblers out there and, you know, all those kind of guys. And it is the most fun because it's one of those places like there's so many trips in this book that I would go out on and I'd get totally lost or think I'm lost because you've just gone down one too many dark roads out in Acadiana. And then you finally find it. You know, you find this place. And it's just this massive barn that's done up in Christmas lights and everybody's dancing. Like when I went, I walked in and I saw a baby walking across the dance floor and I saw somebody sweep up the baby and that got passed around and to me, that was like one of the most magical moments.
The baby got folded into everything.
Oh, totally, totally.
We've been talking with Alex Cook, who's the author of a terrific new book, Louisiana Saturday Night, Looking for a Good Time in South Louisiana's Juke Joints, Honky Tonks, and Dance Halls. And now we know the difference. You can hear Alex talk about his book at the Bayou St. John branch of Maple Street Bookshop at 6 o'clock March 22nd, and again Friday, March 23rd at 2:30 at the upcoming Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival at the Hotel Monteleone. Thanks so much, Alex.
Oh, thanks for having me. They got the cowboy hats and them big boots too. And when they on the dance floor, they know just what to do. Ain't talking about Texas, no indeed. And that's a Louisiana baby, yes siree. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, that's a Louisiana Saturday
Deshae Rhodes is the branch manager of one of the most beautiful libraries in the city, the new Rosa Keller branch at 4300 South Broad. The first time I met her was during a tour of branches of the New Orleans Public Library, and she'd just been sprung after some long years in a FEMA trailer. You are opening a new temporary branch in the Andrew Wilson Charter School. This week, Deshae will be part of the grand opening of the Rosa Keller branch Friday, March 16th at 11 a.m., followed by festivities all day Saturday, March 17th. Deshae, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
How long have you been at Keller?
I came to Keller as the branch manager when the modular opened in December of 2008.
And what was the library like before the storm? Do you know? Do you have much of a sense?
Yes, actually, I started my career at New Orleans Public Library at the Keller branch in 2000. Didn't stay too long because at the time I lived across the river and another branch was more convenient. However, it was a lovely experience, certainly as the beginning of my career. We had lovely meeting space, and we had a lot of children, as we do now. Mm-hmm. So it was a very nice experience.
Tell us about Rosa Keller.
I am honored to be able to work and serve the public at a branch named in honor of Mrs. Keller. She was born in 1911 as Rosa Freeman, of the Freeman Coca-Cola family, and necessarily, in her own words, she was born to a life of privilege, but as she, you know, became an adult, she realized that life was not the same for all persons here in the city of New Orleans and across the nation. So she became quite involved in the civil rights movement, and she was a civic activist all of her adult life. Rosa Keller was integral in desegregating the New Orleans libraries, and she founded the organization Save Our Schools to work in the schools for the same purpose. She was quite a civic activist again and was tireless in her efforts, but so very modest about her accomplishments.
And the house itself was built in 1918?
1917, I mm-hmm. believe. It is a craftsman-style house, and it was bought by the city in 1990. A brick annex was added to it to provide library space, and the house was used primarily as a learning center and meeting space, and was opened in 1993 as the Broad Branch. It was renamed in Mrs. Keller's honor after her death in 1998.
And just so people will know, it's at that wonderful spot where Napoleon curves into Broad.
Yes, and I think that's one reason. The house was one of the first, certainly not the first, but one of the first residences built in the Broadmoor area, and has always been kind of representative of the neighborhood because of that location.
So you've been in exile since Katrina and spent all those years in that little trailer.
From 2008, mm-hmm. yes. However, the folks in Broadmoor were happy to have a library, even though it was the trailer.
And then there was that innovative partnership with Andrew Wilson Charter School.
Yes, the Broadmoor community certainly is very supportive, very active in providing all kinds of services in the community, bringing this community back. The library is certainly one of those very important services, and the community has been very hospitable. Once the modular had to be closed to complete the construction for the whole new facility, the community found us a place in the Wilson Charter School.
So tell us about the new branch.
We are very excited about it. It's very distinctive, you know, doesn't necessarily make you automatically think of a library. It is, again, very distinctive, unique in its design, eye-catching, and in conjunction with the house, it is a very attractive part of the community. The collection itself will consist of about 17,000 volumes.
Wow.
And we certainly will have computer access for our patrons, all of the services that libraries provide, and a great deal of very charming meeting space that will offer groups throughout the city a place to have their meetings and present programming.
So tell us about the opening festivities.
The Friday festivities include the ribbon cutting and other festivities associated with that. But then on Saturday, which is St. Patrick's Day, we will have a slate of activities for the public. We're going to have cooking demonstrations because the house has a demonstration kitchen, which will be lovely. We are going to have crafts for kids. We'll have a couple of story times. We'll have face painting, library tours, and certainly all kinds of information about the activities in the Broadmoor community, the programming that will be taking place at Keller, as well as the variety of library services.
We've been talking with Deshae Rhodes, who's the branch manager of the Rosa Keller branch of the New Orleans Public Library. You can meet Deshae Rhodes at the Rosa Keller branch and join Mayor Mitch Landrieu and others for the grand opening of that branch, Friday, March 16th, for ribbon cutting and tours from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., followed by a full day of festivities Saturday, March 17th, starting at 10 a.m. with a cooking demonstration by Times-Picayune food editor Judy Walker. Thanks so much, Deshae.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in your new library home.
Oh, we're excited.
What's on tap in the literary life this week? The Friends of the Jefferson Parish Library meet at 1 p.m. Wednesday, March 14th at the East Bank Regional Library. I'll be the guest speaker talking about the reading life and spring books. Robert Cannigal signs his new book, On an Irish Island, Wednesday, March 14th at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books. Constance Adler signs My Bayou, New Orleans Through the Eyes of a Lover, Thursday, March 15th at 6 at Maple Street Bookshop in the New Orleans Healing Center. The Poetry Brothel in New Orleans is opening on March 15th at 8 p.m. at the Always Lounge and Theater. If you know a wandering New Orleans poetry whore looking for a home, please contact the madam at info@thepoetrybrothel.com. Maple Street Bookshop on Maple Street hosts a reception for and readings by regional students participating in the Scholastic Writing Awards, Thursday, March 15th at 6 p.m. Poets Bill Zawadzki and Jerry Ward Jr. appear as part of 17 Poets Literary and Performance Series, Thursday, March 15th at 8 p.m. at the Goldmine Saloon. The New Orleans Museum of Art Book Club discusses The Miracles of Prato, a novel by Laurie Albanese, Friday, March 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the Noma Library. Walter Isaacson discusses his biography of Steve Jobs and his life in New Orleans libraries Thursday, March 15th at 12:30 at the main branch of the New Orleans Public Library, 219 Loyola. Then join Mayor Mitch Landrieu and others for the grand opening of the Rosa Keller branch, Friday, March 16th from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., followed by a full day of festivities Saturday, March 17th, starting at 10 with a cooking demonstration by Judy Walker. And watch for more to come from the New Orleans Public Library when the new Norman Mayer branch opens March 20th, the Lakeview Smith branch opens March 22nd, and the East New Orleans Regional Library opens April 12th. Patricia Briggs signs Fair Game Friday, March 16th at 5:30 at the Garden District Bookshop. The Octavia Books Book Club discusses Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy by John Le Carré. That's Saturday, March 17th at 10:30 a.m. at Octavia Books. The Dickens Fellowship of New Orleans discusses The Second Book of Oliver Twist, Saturday, March 17th from 2 to 4 at the Bright Library at Metairie Park Country Day School. The Faulkner Society and the Louisiana State Museum present readings by three William Faulkner William Wisdom Creative Writing Competition winners, Sunday, March 18th from 1:30 to 4:30 at the Cabildo. They are Lucy Ferris, whose new book is The Lost Daughter, Moira Crone, whose new book is The Not Yet, and Andy Young, author of The People is Singular. There will be an open mic reading Sunday, March 18th at 3 p.m. at the Maple Leaf Bar. John Klingman signs New in New Orleans Architecture, Tuesday, March 20th at 6 p.m. at Maple Street Bookshop in the Healing Center. And get your lungs warmed up to yell for Stanley and Stella at the Shouting Contest at the 26th Annual Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival. The festival takes place March 21st through 25th at the Hotel Monteleon and at various locations throughout the quarter. Start out March 21st with a gala performance of Tom Sankton's Song for My Fathers at the Old U.S. Mint, and continue through the weekend with actress Piper Laurie, playwrights John Guare and John Biganay, and panels and discussions featuring writers Ace Atkins, Amy Dickinson, Amy Hempel, Laura Lippman, and NPR favorite Nick Spitzer. For more information, check out TennesseeWilliams.net. The Friends of the Jefferson Public Library hold their semi-annual Big Book Sale, March 29th through April 1st at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard at the Lake in Kenner. Hours are Thursday through Saturday, that's March 29th through 31st, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, April 1st, from noon to 5. For more information, call the Friends of the Library at 504-455-2665 or email friendsjpl@yahoo.com. All proceeds benefit the Jefferson Parish Libraries. Major support for The Reading Life is provided by Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at WWNO.org or email us at TheReadingLife@WWNO.org. Thanks for listening and keep reading.